Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Right now, we surrender to you. We're careful to give you all the honor, glory, and praise. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Or I'll say, shalom. Amen. This is a great season that we are in. It is a good season. I love the season that Yahweh is calling, in which he's calling for relationship during this time, and we'll talk a little bit about that today. Let's go to Matthew. The 13th chapter, or Matityahu for you Hebrew scholars.
Amen.
Amen. The book of Matthew, Matityahu. This season that we're coming out of, we're actually going into, last year, the Hebrew New Year, Rosh Hashanah, started last Sunday, 6 o'clock p.m. It's a time for us between the time of Rosh Hashanah, which means head of the year, top of the year. That means that the Hebrew calendar is a little different than the Gregorian calendar. The Gregorian calendar is the calendar that you and I are using, right? New Year is what?
January 1st.
February 1st, right? Christmas is what?
December
23rd. Right. So all the days that mean something to us, we know those days. It's that calendar that is called the Gregorian calendar. The Hebrew calendar is much different. It recognizes all of the feasts and all of the high days. And I'm not telling you guys to go out and do all of the things that are written in the Old Testament. But what I'm saying, recognize the significance and the meaning of what it's speaking to. Amen? So it's talking. Did you know the Old Testament is talking to us? It is speaking. The Old Testament is so awesome, I say, because it was speaking about the Messiah before he even came. It was foreshadowing the things that he would do before he even did them. And so when you see that, you got to appreciate the types and the shadows as we're talking about. And so when we look at that Old Testament and when we look at the meaning of the things, I don't like doing nothing that I don't understand. I don't like doing nothing just to do it. I need to understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. I think I told you guys a story a long time ago. There was this young lady, and she learned how to cook from her mother, right? And so who learned how to cook? Let me rephrase this. Sometimes they don't tell you verbatim, like every step. A lot of stuff, some stuff is taught and then other stuff is caught, right? You learn it just from watching. So she would catch her mom doing certain things and she learned how to do it. So her mom would have this roast and she would cut the beautiful roast, but she would cut the top of it off and wrap it up and put it away. And then, you know, cook the rest of it, put it in the oven or whatever. And so she grew up herself chopping the top off. So one time her mother actually saw her doing this. So she chopped the top off. She said, girl, why are you chopping the top off the roast? She said, well, that's what you always used to do. She said, I did that because the oven was so small, I couldn't get a full roast in. But you got a big giant. But see, well, I was always wondering why you did that. I thought it was something about flavor. But, you know, she needed to know why. And a lot of times we don't explain why we're doing certain things. But, oh, if you would just get into the Word, you would know exactly why he's doing everything that he is doing, what the significance of it, and why it's so powerful, right? And so I praise God for that. So let's go to Matthew. Tell your neighbor we need to appreciate the Word. The more I get into the Word, the more I see the types and shadows, the more I see the roots, which is the Old Testament, and the shoots, which is the New, the more I see them come together, the more I understand, the more excited I am. And the more excited I am, the more I appreciate. I appreciate Yeshua. No. You don't get it. I appreciate Yeshua. He didn't have to do it, but he did. And he was steadily taking us through stuff and showing us. So I don't know what switch it was that we switched on these on the big Bibletron up here, but I love the fact that now when Yeshua is speaking, it actually pops up red, and that's cool. And it lets me know, lets you know, I already know it, you know, because sometimes we don't know. You remember when we used to have the hard copy Bibles? I mean, you know, I'm holding this because it's easy, and you know, but. You know, I can flip through different books and hold one device, but, you know, I did not want to have one that didn't have the red letter. I needed a red letter edition. Who needed to have a red letter edition? Apostle's like, yes, I still got it. Because it lets you know who's talking, you know, and there's just something when Yeshua's talking, it's like, I gotta listen to everything. But when he's talking, I'm just really like, I'm leaning in, you know? And we talked about that in Bible study. When you are hearing is, what's the Hebrew word for hearing, students? Sama. And that means, it's not on the board, but I'm just throwing it in. I'm feeling led by the Spirit to throw it in. See, in the English, when you hear, it just means that something is going on. And hearing also means in the English, if it goes in one ear and comes out the other and you didn't understand it, it's still hearing. But when you get into the Hebrew word for hearing is sama. And sama means that you are intently hearing. That means you're leaning in. And you're like, what are you about to say, Lord? And whatever, and before you even say anything, before you even say it, I'm already geared that I'm going to do whatever you say. I ain't even heard it yet, but whatever you say, I'm going to do it because I'm samayin. And that means I'm hearing with an intention on doing exactly what is spoken. He wants to know, is there anybody? And let's get this straight. You're not doing what I'm saying. I'm getting everything from the Word. Don't go out of here saying, Pastor Tom said. When Pastor Tom is saying and giving his opinion, I'll tell you it's from Pastor Tom 3:2. That's my personal opinion. But when it's coming from the Word, I'm telling you it's Matityahu, and it's Yohanan, it's John, and I'm telling you it's straight from the Word. So when you get out of here, you're not doing what I say. You're doing what the Word is telling you to do. Is anybody Sama'in this morning? All right. So you got to appreciate what the Word is saying. So that being said, when we go here to Matityahu, and we know that it is Yeshua talking, 13th chapter, the 16th verse. And he was explaining to all of them that there's some things that are going on that you guys are privy to. Now you guys have an opportunity to hear some things. Listen what he says. Blessed are your eyes. Who's he talking to? The church, you. He's saying, blessed are your eyes, for they see. and your ears, for they hear. But why is he telling us we're blessed? Go to 17. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, but they have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and they have not heard them. So you're hearing some stuff, because you got to remember, back in the day, they didn't have no Bible. They didn't have like New Testament chapter and verse. They didn't have all that. They had to take that word of the Torah and commit it to memory. Can you do that? Think about it. I can't even get you guys to remember Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Can you remember that? All the books of the New Testament? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Oh, and if we go to the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, what? I done lost everybody after the first five. But see, they had to take that word and commit it to memory, because when they did that, the word actually became a part of them. What are you doing to make that word become a part of you? So he says, verily, I say unto you, the many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things. You guys are hearing some stuff, and you guys are seeing stuff that even the prophets didn't get a chance to see. They didn't even get a chance to experience. Holy Ghost. Power. They desired to see the Spirit fall, and they didn't get a chance. But guess what? You are under the dispensation where the Holy Ghost is falling, and it's living inside of you. The power. You're experiencing that. Anybody seen what the Holy Ghost does? Anybody seen? No. Anybody seen the power in operation? You've seen it, right? And so you got to understand that this Yahweh is bringing out these things. And so when Yeshua is saying this, listen, y'all, you tell your neighbor, you bless. Because you're experiencing something that they didn't experience. So you need to appreciate it. And so when we go here, I want you to turn to, we're still in Matthew, and to the seventh verse. So, in this time, Rosh Hashanah, the new year, 10 days after that is Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. Rosh Hashanah is also called the Feast of Trumpets. Somebody say Feast of Trumpets. Do you know what the trumpet was for the Hebrew? Oh, it's the shofar. Ah, isn't that magnificent? And the shofar, and for Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, they would actually blow this. And it's a call. Actually, it's a call to action, but it's also a cry out for relationship, right? Because go ahead, take the picture on there, post it on Facebook, or Instagram, we got you, all right. You can do that, right? And so they would blow this magnificent sound. I don't know how to blow it yet, but one day I'm gonna learn how to blow this thing. You ain't going to stop me from blowing. I used to play the French horn, but the French horn ain't got nothing on this. But it has a sound. And you will understand that in the Hebrew custom, sounds meant things. Even the words that are spoken, they have a sound, you know? The names have a sound, and the sounds are significant. So when this would blow, it means something. Perfect example. You and I, we say Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. That sounds great, but that's English. But when you get into the Hebrew name for Holy Spirit is Ruach Kodesh. No, I can't say it exactly like the say it, Apostle. Ruach. Kodash. Woo. Did you feel the power in that? And so that's what I'm trying to tell y'all is that, here you go. That Ruha Kodesh. It just denotes that the movement as it goes. Ruha. That's what they do. Kodesh, right? And so it's the sound. And so a lot of times you need to know what these names are. So that's what we need to use the name of Yeshua. That was the name that rolled off of the disciples' lips. That was the name that they called him. And you know what got me? I was telling you guys, after I saw that his name was Yeshua in the dictionary. Remember last week I was telling you? Yes. My revelation. Then not long after that, maybe months, they came out with the movie Passion of the Christ. And in Passion of the Christ, listen, Mel Gibson, he wasn't trying to evangelize. He was just trying to be authentic. He was trying to bring truth and authenticity to the story of the Messiah or the Mashiach. And so when I saw the movie, I'm thinking that in the movie, they're going to, you know, say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. In the movie, it wasn't in English. It was in the original tongue. It was in Hebrew. And then every time they called him, they said, Yeshua, Yeshua. They were, and that was the sound. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, there's a sound. Yeshua means he will save and deliver. But when you hear that name, the sound also denotes him saving and him what? Delivering. And if they can put that in a movie and they're not trying to evangelize, they're just trying to be authentic, then that was my second confirmation that I need to be using the name. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm just saying that to say you gotta receive what he's speaking. But when you start to dig into the Hebrew and a lot of the Greek in the New Testament, the word is in HD. It's high definition. You were actually, if you're just doing the English, you're on a 1969 black and white VHF. You don't even know what VHF is. VHF was the channels 52 and all that other thing. You had to turn the dial. And then you had to put that foil just right on the antenna. On the coat hanger, yeah. Yeah, well, why did everybody use coat hangers? Explain to me. Well, the antenna would always break. He said the antenna always broke. Okay. I wasn't quite there. I mean, I was there on the latter part. And then in that day, they didn't have, in the Apostles' day, 1960, something like that, 69, 70, 73, they didn't have remote controls yet. Well, we didn't have one, but he had a remote control. I was the remote control. Got Tom, go on over here. Turn to channel 13. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody was a remote? Yes. So you know what I'm talking about. So we got to appreciate where we come from, don't we? So when we look and see the significance, it was a Feast of Trumpets. It was a time of calling us to relationship. And that's what he's been doing in this season, taking an inventory of ourselves. Because remember, the Day of Atonement was coming that, you know, for sins. And so you needed to get yourself right. And so what he's talking to us, he's calling us for relationship. Say relationship. He wants a relationship. Say, Yahweh wants a relationship with me. Okay. And so when we understand the significance, go to Matthew, the 7th chapter. So he wants you to know him. A purpose of knowing. You can't be in a relationship with somebody and not know them. You shouldn't be. Though some of us do get in relationships with folks we don't know. And he wants relationship with us. Because I tell people, stop going to church for tradition. Stop doing it just because it's something I'm supposed to go. No, 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 no. It's not about religion. I don't do religion here. I don't do tradition here. I do relationship. I come because I have a relationship with the Father. And I want him to be able to speak to me. I want to come in worship service because I want to be able to pour out unto him. And I want to thank him for all the things that he's done for me. And I want to just praise him because he's worthy. And if he didn't do nothing for me, I would praise him anyway because he's worthy of it. No matter what. And no matter what my situation, whether things are going good, whether things are going bad, you should still be praising him. Because he's who he is. And you will find if you would just praise him no matter what. If you would just thank him no matter what, you will see him flip that thing all around. He'll change that situation. Is there anybody that knows by experience what I'm talking about? You know. No. By experience, you know. Tell your neighbor, you know. Okay, so we got to start appreciating this. We sit down, we sleep on this, and we can't do this. You know, so we got to give it to him. So when we look at this, Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 21st verse, and this season that we're in, where he's calling us to relationship, he wants us to get to know him. He needs us to know him. He needs us to understand him. He needs us to even be engaged. Are you engaged in your relationship with Yahweh? What does engaged mean? That means you're actually doing active things. Are you engaged in the scriptures? Right? You got to be engaged. What? In the scriptures. What does that mean? You can't just sit here and just let the screen flip. You need to flip. You need to know where stuff is. I've done this before. I said, turn to Hezekiah 3, and people be like, flip, flip, flip. There ain't no Hezekiah. But if you were in the scriptures, you would what? You know, okay? And so the Hebrew tradition of knowledge and knowing meant you owned it. I keep saying this over and over again, but you got to understand, if you know something, you own it. And so there's an emphasis being put on you knowing something. And so here it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I have to say this. There are people in the world today who believe they have relationship. Anybody ever tell you, I'm a spiritual person. I'm spiritual. So I don't have to go to church. I can go to the beach and, you know, I can get my spirituality on. I'm praying at, you know, and I'm doing certain things. They're attacking it from a completely head, mind-led point of view. If you were in the scriptures, you would know what he's requiring of you, right? You would know what, it's not about being spiritual. It's about you having a relationship with him. And so it says, not everyone that said, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom, because there are people that think they got a form of godliness. I'm godly. But it's completely what? From here. You need to know from the scriptures. You need to know from the scriptures what relationship is. Because someday, you're going to meet him. And when you meet him, he's going to say something to you. Now, he's going to say one of two things. He'll say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. Well done. Come on in and join the turn up. Hallelujah. Or not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Not what you want to do. Say, not what you want, but what he wants. It's all about him. And he wants his will done in your life. Let his will be done in your life, which is in heaven. 22 says what? Many will say unto me, that day when they meet him, they're going to say, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? Have I not cast out devils in thy name? Haven't I done many wondrous works? Well, what's the problem with that? Say it's the I-ism. Many will say to me, and then 23rd verse what says what? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. Why would he say that? Because let's find out, I never knew you. I never knew you. Knew, no. What does that mean? Let's go to the Greek and find out. Genosko. Genosko means a knowing which comes from a relationship. I didn't, might have known your name, but you and I were not in a deep genosko because we weren't, you never allowed a deep relationship to take place. I was calling you for prayer. I was calling you for Bible study. I was calling you for all kinds of things. I was calling you to do my will, and you didn't want no parts of it. I was trying to have date night with you, spiritual date night, where I would just, you and me, we'll commune with each other, and we talk, and then you'd be able to tell me some things that are on your heart, and then you would have enough time to stop and wait for me to say some stuff and impart some stuff to you. But you would not, all you did was ask your request, and then you was gone. So you never had a relationship. Yeah, but I paid my tithes and offerings, but you dropped them tithes down and then you didn't stay to hear what I had to say. Because some people think they can buy. Tell your neighbor, we can't buy it. You can't buy a ticket to glory. It's not, tell them it's not for sale. It doesn't work that way. And so, understanding how he works, he's like, it's simple. Tell your neighbor it's simple. He just wants a relationship. He just wants to be able for you to talk to him and for him to be able to talk to you. And so, it's almost like he's crying out for relationship. Because even since the Garden of Eden, he's been trying to get man into a place where he bring man back unto him. He keeps on trying. We call it grace, infinite, manifold grace and mercy. And you don't deserve it. But praise Yahweh, he is still longing to bring you closer to him. Come on now. He's longing. So understanding that, I don't want to hear him tell me, depart from me. Who would be devastated? Who wants to hear my good and faithful servant? Wait. He called the person something. He called them good and faithful and servant. Good, faithful, and servant. So good, the opposite of good is bad. The opposite of faithful is unfaithful. And the opposite of servant is, well, rebellion. So he's either going to say good, faithful, servant, or he's going to, you bad, unfaithful, rebellious, good for nothing. Depart. And what is iniquity? Iniquity is simply this. Iniquity is your own thing. If you don't know what iniquity is, I'm giving you a deep meaning. It's your own thing. It's doing you. And we declare that sometimes, don't we? I'm doing me. You got to do me. You got to do you. And then we tell other people, no, you do you. That's iniquity. Say, when you do you, that's iniquity. When you do him, that's faithful. Oh, you gonna rhyme, Apostle? You about to rhyme? You about to? All right. So, understanding this, let's go to John, Yohanan. So this day and age is crazy because people want to be, they want spirituality to be on their terms. They want to declare what is spiritual. They want to declare what you do. They want to, you know, say, oh, dictate the relationship. It doesn't take all that. I don't know. I don't need to do all that to go to God. Is that what he said? Did he say that it didn't take all that? No, he's telling you, I need you to follow me. And so, John, Yohanan, the fourth chapter. What if you think you know the Father? You think you know Yahweh? You think you know Yeshua? And if he were to come smack in your face, do you have enough relationship and discernment that you would recognize him? I'm asking you. What if he just manifested unto you? Would you know who he was? Do you have enough spirituality and enough word and enough discernment that you would know? Ooh, hey. There's something about you, Father. Well, that happened in the Bible. Let's find out. There was a woman. And he was talking to this woman at the well. He's calling for a relationship. Folks think they know. They don't know. And so this conversation was taking place, this exchange. Very interesting. So it says, Yohanan 4th chapter, the 15th verse says, there was a woman. The woman said unto him, sir, first of all, she already got it wrong. Sir, give me this water. Because he was telling her, hey, you know, you was in here getting some water at the well, but I have a water that if you drink it, you never thirst. Again, you drink the water that you're trying to get out the well, you drink that, you're going to be thirsty again. That's just like Chinese food. When I eat Chinese food, I'm hungry, still hungry, you know? But he's saying that what? If you drink the living water, you'll never thirst again. So she said, sir, give me this water that I thirst not. Now then I won't have to come here to draw. Check her out. Yeah, who? Kind of flip, ain't she? She's making fun. She mocking. She's doing what y'all don't like. She's disrespecting. Throwing shade. 16th verse. Yeshua said unto her, okay, you want to talk smack? Go call your husband. You know, Yeshua was cold-blooded. I mean, he will bust you right out. She knew. She was just saying, I'm going to just say what I'm going to say. I'm just going to come at you however I want to come at you. He was like, okay, you got juice or whatever. Go get your husband. And tell him to come here. 17th verse says what? And the woman asked her and said, I ain't got no husband. Basically, that was the response. I ain't got no husband. You got to look at this the way it happened. You know, she was all proper and so, they was having a conversation. And she was like, I ain't got no husband. Well, Yeshua said unto her, you said well, didn't you? I have no husband, huh? Well, what did she, 18 said what? For you have 5 husbands. And the dude that you're with right now, he's not even your husband. That's what it said. Let me interpret it for you. give you the urban scripture. You getting smart. Let me, you trying to play with me. Let me give you truth. He said, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. In that, you told the truth. So basically he said, listen, you have five husbands, and the number six that you're working on right now, he ain't even your husband yet. So you right. Right now, you ain't got no husband. Wow. Is that truth? But you know what? It's interesting. Because you got all these spiritual people, and they got all kinds of... No, let's just get it straight. They got all this junk going on in their life. I'm spiritual, yeah, but they turning up. You know, they in the club. You know, yeah, I'm spiritual, yeah, but you got a chick on the side. Yeah, truth. Oh, I'm spiritual, yeah, but a sister. You trying to get this dude to work out with you, and you got a husband, and then, you know, you pushing up on the dude. Oh, you're so strong. Yeah, you're so much stronger than my husband. But then, oh, they sang the loudest. Oh, they got the best. Hallelujah! So this woman, you know, she act like she, you know, she know. But then, boom, he bust her out. And that's what I see. I see like these people that say they're so spiritual and they got jacked up lives. They doing jacked up stuff. And then they want, because they're approaching spirituality on their terms, what they want to do, how they want to do it, and not even taking into account what Yahweh wants, what Yahweh is asking for. Yahweh has provided a way of escape, freedom, deliverance, and they're still living in sin, but they're spiritual. Somebody need to be, I'm sorry to bust you out, but somebody need to be busted out tonight, this morning. Praise Yahweh for the busting. Because you got, he wants relationship. You can't have no relationship with all this junk, with all this mess. And Yeshua would call stuff out. He'd be like, that's dung. You know what that is. So he said, truly, 19th verse. But the woman said unto him, sir. Okay, she's, you know what? She, her with the sir stuff. I perceive that thou art a prophet. And a spiritual woman, but you know, she's talking to Yeshua. Yahweh wrapped up in flesh. And she can't even see. Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Go to the next verse. Our fathers worship in this mountain. I go to church. My grandmama was at Mount Moriah, Lutheran, Second, Alpha and Omega, Third Baptist Church. And our father worshiped in this mountains. And you say that in Jerusalem? That's the place where men ought to worship. We worshiped up here in these mountains. We did it our way. We did it the way we, you know, knew how to do. That's what we did. And that was fine for us. She had her own brand of relationship. She didn't even know where to worship right. What they wanted to do. Am I talking to somebody? Don't say nothing. Just receive it. 21st verse. Yeshua said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. 22. You worship, but you know not what. That is what's happening. People are thinking that they have a relationship with God, but they don't know what they're worshiping. They got an idea, but they don't know. Say they don't know. And this is all about knowing. So how can you be in a relationship with Yahweh truly and not know? If you are truly in a relationship with Yahweh, you know. Tell your neighbor, we supposed to know. And so it says, you worship, but you know not what? We worship what we worship. We know what we worship. Do you see how he flipped that? He was like, you worship, you know not. But we know what we worship. For salvation is of the Yehudis. 23rd verse. But the hour cometh, now is, when the true. Ah. That's what. So there's a difference. So there are actually true worshipers. See, because the homegirl at the well, she thought she was a worshiper. She would worship. She was up in the mountains, up in the hills, doing her thing, how she wanted to do it. But Yeshua said, you don't even know what you're worshiping. You know, she was worshiping, but she had five husbands. And she was working on number six. What was going on? Something was going on wrong in the life. For the internet, Apostle said she had a problem. But that's the problem. If you don't know who and what you're worshiping, you got a problem. If you keep failing and falling over and over and over and over again, you got a problem. If you still tripping and slipping and dipping, ooh, I don't know where that came from. And you still going to the mountain but to worship, but you ain't getting nothing, you ain't got no power, then you got a what? Problem. You still don't have no breakthrough. You still don't have no victory in your life. You still don't have no fruit, no evidence. You got a problem. If all that mess is going on in your life, you ain't got no relationship. And he needs his people to know that they know that they know that they know that they got a relationship with him. Each and every one of you, I have a personal relationship. And so he says, the Father, and the time is now when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such. Everybody, he's looking for true worshipers. He's seeking. Can you imagine Yahweh looking and trying to find true worship? It seems like, you know, when we were on Broadway, like I said this before, there are 40 churches within three blocks. But even with all those churches, from Manchester to Century, he was looking for some true worship. Looking for some people that really understood what relationship was supposed to be. People that understood that relationship comes with being in the Word. And so when we look at 24, it says, Yahweh, he's spirit. So if he's spirit, he's looking for people to worship him in the spirit. That's the thing right there. He's looking. So how can you say you have a relationship, but you don't have the spirit? He says he's looking for the true worshipers that are going to worship him in spirit and in what? Truth. So according to the word. So he's looking for some Ruha Kodesh believers. He's looking for some folks that got the very breath of God up inside of them, that are going to worship him in the spirit. And not only that, he's looking for those that got the truth, that are seeking the truth, that are living the truth, that are searching the scriptures for the truth. Any worshipers, any true worshipers in the house today, you true. You are legitimate. You are genuine worshiper. You got Holy Ghost and you got truth. And that's what he's looking for. Why? Because he's a spirit. If you listen, if you know anything about Yahweh, he's spirit. Say he's spirit.
Spirit.
Say it louder. He's spirit.
Spirit.
And I don't understand how you can be in a church that don't allow his spirit to move and operate. It don't make no sense. He's looking for a church that is going to believe and worship him in the truth and in the spirit. I don't know. You know, we just, you know, a little congregation here, 3CLA, but I dare say we got truth and spirit. Because if you remember what we just talked about, everybody that come to him, to say, Lord, Lord, not going on, not entering in. And they that worship him, maybe sometimes, occasionally, no, they that worship him must. Say must worship. Say it again, must worship. Must worship him in spirit and in truth. He's calling for relationship. He was like, you got to worship me in spirit and in truth. I'm looking, I'm seeking true worshipers. There's some worshipers out there, but everybody's not true. And when we go to 25, it says what? The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah is coming, which is called Messiah. Messiah is coming, which is called Messiah, the Christ. And when he has come, he will tell us all things. Wait, let me do that again. Woman said unto him, I know that Messiah is coming, which is called the Messiah. And when he has come, he will tell us all things. But she don't know. And there's so many believers that think they know, but they don't know. They don't know nothing. They don't know. The word is going. Whoop, whoop, whoop. But 26 says, Yeshua said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. The dude that you talking about, that's me.
Come on.
I'm the one. And if you really knew something, you would know that I'm the one. I'm here. Yeah, they said I was coming, and now I'm here, and I'm bringing it. I'm bringing truth. I'm bringing the spirit. And I'm looking for some folks that's going to bring the same. Look any further. He's here. Can we just give him a shout of praise because he's here? He's here. He's right here, ministering and moving in our lives. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I love you. Father, we just thank you and praise you, Father. We thank you and praise you for the season that you're calling for relationship. We're thanking you and praising you that we are in relationship. Those of us that are receiving you and accepting you, we are in relationship. And it just strengthens our resolve, Father, that every day that we're still drawing closer and closer. We can't get close enough to you. So right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, for those of us who are not in relationship the way we need to be, who don't know the way we need to know, minister to us right now. in the mighty name of Yeshua, that we recognize your voice. You said your sheep hear your voice, and another one they will not follow. We want to be your sheep, Father Yahweh. We want to be your sheep, hallelujah, that we will follow your voice, that we know your voice. It's about knowing. We want to know you even better. We want to know you even more, and we know that the way through to knowing you is in spirit and in truth, Father. So release ourselves to that right now in the mighty name of Yeshua. And we thank you and praise you, Father Yahweh, for the grace and mercy and love that you showed us, even when we're outside of where we need to be. But you're calling us back to know. And we give you glory for that. And we praise you for it, and we thank you for it. We thank you for revealing yourself to us. We thank you for revealing your name. We thank you, Father, for revealing your spirit. We thank you for showing us in a mighty way who you are. Showing us who you are. That we can truly say that we know you. So we give you the glory. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Please bow your head. I would not be doing, or I would not be being obedient if I did not make a call. A call is just simple. You want relationships. You know he's calling you to relationship. You know he's calling you to connection. You know he's calling you to something different because you've been living...